Sunday night is big game night, and if you've forgotten to book the Monday off like a mug, then you'll be doing the same old laying out of clothes as you would on any other Sunday. But if you enter a fantasy team into the Paddy Power Fantasy Big Game, you'll get your entry money back as cash if there's a field goal scored. Paddy Power Fantasy. Max cash refund £9 per customer. T's and C's and Paddy Power Fantasy rules apply. 18+ BeGambleAware.org.
Hello and welcome to the Nat Coombs Show, presented by Paddy Power Fantasy, coming to you live from Miami Beach. And Jason Bell, when I say live from Miami Beach, I mean live from Miami Beach. Here we are.
Nat, I just got out the water. I mean, that's how I can dry off that fast.
That was quick.
That was quick. That's what I do.
Do you surf, J-Bo?
Of course I surf.
I want to see proof of that this week.
Never. See proof.
We can live with these new surroundings, huh?
Oh, man, this is amazing. What a great place to be. What a great experience. I'm excited for everything the week has to offer.
Now, it is early doors here in Miami, but the sun has come up for our show, so I'm glad about that. First things first, have you recovered from opening night?
I have. It was tough. It was exciting, man. Those teams were live, man. They were both so excited to be there. It was just amazing to see the atmosphere. The fans were great. I mean, it gets better every year as an event.
I'm disappointed that you're not wearing a white tracksuit for the show today, to be honest.
No.
As all the players
are. I'm in Miami. I'm in Miami, man. I got to look fly, man.
You looking fly. Thank it's a city you know well, of course.
It is. Yeah. I went to business school out here. I didn't go out much because I was studying. But
course, strictly business.
Yeah, I went strictly business. Great place, great food, great people.
We are going to get into a lot today, particularly keying in on the defenses, because that's something you know a hell of a lot about. But I want to start by painting the picture of Super Bowl week. An opening night, of course, hence the title, is when things really start to kick off. And even that event alone, as we talked about on the pod on Tuesday, has just got bigger and bigger and bigger. And that's representative, I think, of Super Bowl week full stop. It just seems to get larger and brasher and louder every year.
Yeah, and if anybody's aware of it, it's the players. The players know that's a chance to get their voice out there, to go over everything the media wants to talk to them about. And, you know, leave that in the and go on and start to focus on the game at hand, right? Get that out of the way and start to get ready for the week.
You hear that a lot, though, when you're talking to players, and media access is something I want to talk to you about, because that is off the chart, just the access you have to players all through the week. One of the common questions is, how do you deal with this pressure? You got family, you got to sort tickets out. Everywhere you go, you're hearing Super Bowl, Super Bowl. And every player says the same thing. They say the same thing. Oh, I just treat it like another game. It's just another game. That's what I'm telling myself. But that is much easier said than done, isn't it?
Oh, much easier said than done. You try to get the ticket situation handled the week before, but
is that the hardest thing to do?
That's a tough thing. Who's coming, right?
Sure.
But as much as you try to avoid it, you still turn the television on. Mm-hmm. Everybody's talking about you. They're talking about the game. They're talking about the matchups. And you try to block out all that noise. Some players are better than others, but everybody is impacted by it.
In a way, do you think things like opening night and the media availability, which is every day, there's media availability and the press from all over the world can rock up, talk to them, but sit down at a table in many cases and just start talking to a player for as long as they want. Is that a welcome distraction for the players, do you think?
I think they're just so used to it. You know, it's a part of the game. They're aware that this is a huge event and they want to be a part of it, but it's just what they do. You know, they found a way to handle both of it. They're prepared and they just segment that off and say, let's take care of this and then go out and practice.
There's an edge this Super Bowl as well, because these are two teams that are really compelling for lots of different reasons. And we'll get into many of those today, but it feels fresher than maybe some of the more recent Super Bowls for one quite obvious reason, right?
Yeah, I mean, that's what Media Night showed you, how excited these teams were to be here. Mm. It wasn't business as usual like it's been in the past for some teams. Mm. It was, we are here, we are going to soak all this in Miami, and go out there and you know, appreciate that everybody in the world wants to talk to you. Take that in. It's an experience of a lifetime. There's nothing wrong with being excited.
In terms of that relaxation and that approach to something as major as opening night, the relaxed state of mind. I remember the New York Super Bowl, which the Seahawks went on to win 5 years ago, and that was really, really clear that they went into that and lots of the other events very relaxed. That manifested itself on the sidelines early on. I remember, I think Marshall Lynch body popping on the bench early doors in the game. Can you read a lot into that? Can you read a lot into how the teams are in the build up to the week? I mean, both of these, as you say, seem to be quite chilled and seem to be quite relaxed with it.
Yeah.
But that, I guess, has some bearing, doesn't it?
Yeah. I mean, it's all about the coaching staff kind of, you know, leading the players and saying, don't get overwhelmed. Mm. Don't work yourself up. Stay relaxed. Enjoy the moment. Mm. Be calm, because when game time comes, it's going to be all action.
Big time. What makes J-Bell a great Super Bowl city?
Oh, the weather. Weather is good. The weather is good. The fans, really. Mm. You know, it's the fans. Everybody's so excited. You know, each team is represented and everybody is just happy. So I think it's the fans coming in collectively and just taking over city. And, you know, the tourism board. Mm. You know, each city does the best they can to kind of help all the people from out of town come in here and feel like it's home.
I was expecting you straight off the bat to say parties. I thought that was a lock.
I would have said that, but, you know, I'm not sure who's watching.
Fair point. Fair point. One thing I learned about you just before we came on air, speaking of parties, your go-to karaoke song.
Oh, yeah, you know, little George Michael, you know. I
want to find a karaoke bar by the end of the week and hear that. Actually, I go Free Falling by Tom Petty. That's my go-to. Now, you haven't played at Hard Rock Stadium, of course, because that's the latest incarnation, but that stadium's got a lot of history, and you go back and have played there in the past, haven't you?
Yeah, I've played there, and I've played there as a season opener when it's very difficult to play there because the humidity is so high. Yeah. A lot of teams that aren't used to practicing in that weather come out here and fail. So, luckily I was in Houston, and we came from a humid climate. So, we came out here and won.
Interesting. Well, hey, yeah. I love the fact you got that and snuck that in. It's well different to Super Bowls of recent years, and you think about the brand new state-of-the-art stadiums, Atlanta, Minneapolis. These were great, great stadiums, but this is going to have a different vibe on Sunday, isn't it?
It's going to have a different vibe, but it's going to be a great vibe. It's a great stadium, and it's all about the atmosphere the fans bring. I mean, when you're in there as a player, that is your fuel. You know, that crowd and their excitement, you know it's different. I mean, as soon as you get in the playoffs, things change. But you are at the ultimate, the pinnacle, and you feel it when you're on that field.
Let's get down to business then. I want to start with the 49ers defense and the best in the business going up against the best in the business. Something's got to give with the 49ers D taking on Patrick Mahomes, or vice versa, whichever way you look at it.
Right. How lucky are we of this matchup, right? You have strength on strength. Mm. And you're right. San Francisco is the best defense in the league, and that's because they have the best defensive line. If your front four is that dynamic, you cause havoc. And that is your only hope against Patrick Mahomes. Mm. This guy is magic. He creates those secondary plays, those second reaction plays, and throws the ball down the field for huge chunks of yardage. And the only way you slow that down is with a dominant defensive line.
Great defensive line, great secondary as well. The number one pass D in the NFL. And Richard Sherman leading by example. 46.8 is the passer rating against Sherman this season, which tells you a lot. And sometimes those stats are misleading. In this case, absolutely not. What a season he's having.
You know why he's so good too, Nat? It's because of his football IQ. Mm. When you are a cornerback and you understand the pressure your defensive line is bringing, you have an internal clock in your head. You know when the ball is supposed to be thrown. And he knows that and understands that and teaches the rest of the secondary, don't panic. The ball has to come out quicker in certain situations. That's why he's had so much success.
He's also a great character, isn't he? And he's been reasonably outspoken once again this week because he had a few landing spots that he could have gone to. And the 49ers glad that he chose San Francisco. But he said there are some teams he passed on because he didn't like their, I think, the Belichickian way, the Patriots way is what he said, what we want to see from Sherman in the build-up to the Super Bowl. Unequivocal. Calling it how it is, right?
Listen, Sherman can say whatever he wants because he has all the criteria and checked all the boxes during his career.
It's a strong unit. I mean, notably, you look at Akello Witherspoon being benched. Yeah. That tells you how strong this unit is. So the 49ers, despite the fact they're going up against this high-octane offense with all kinds of weapons that we'll get into on the Chiefs, they're going to fancy their chance in terms of that matchup, aren't they?
Yeah, and they had to bench him because he was losing confidence, especially when he came back after injury. But, yeah, I mean, that unit, they run that zone concept defense, but they like to match up in man-to-man coverage in those zones. Right. And they have a great grasp of it, and they run it very, very good because their defensive coordinator is teaching them well.
Oh, speaking of which, were you surprised Robert Saleh didn't get a head coaching gig? I mean, he was apparently in line or in the frame for the Browns job, but some people are saying, well, they'd already decided on Stefanski. That was an exploratory interview. I think a lot of people are surprised that wasn't prized away, and then certainly the 49ers, to their benefit, that he wasn't taken.
No, I'm surprised, but Kyle Shanahan is very happy that he's not gone right. Because they have something special going on, and he wants to stick with him for as long as possible.
In terms of the Chiefs' offense against the pass D, really good piece by a writer called Scott Gielen, who talked about teams that have had success against the Chiefs this season. And he picked out the LA Chargers and said one of the reasons they've had, relatively speaking, success defensively was they removed the over-the-middle option, Mahomes' sweet spot, Hill and Kelce in particular. That is where the 49ers can make some ground against Kansas City.
Yeah, and they're similar defenses, right? Mm-hmm. That same kind of cover three zone concept. And the reason you do that is you do a thing, you spot drop. You know where he's going to go with the ball. You know the area. So you drop your underneath defenders in there and cause traffic, right? It's like driving a car. You want to avoid traffic at all times. So that's what they try to do, and they try to prevent his first read across the middle and make it difficult for him. But that's when he does those second reaction plays.
That is our poll, incidentally, at the NC show. Can the 49ers on his D stop Patrick Mahomes? That's a question everybody's asking this week. The pass rushes you outlined, J-Bell, really significant, and they're doing it with four, which means they don't have to blitz. But when they blitz, they're successful with that as well.
Yeah, it's the option, the change up, and that's what they have. When they know they have to get off the field, that is when they bring an extra defender and put that immediate pressure on Patrick Mahomes.
Mahomes is the complete article, isn't he? I mean, he's got a big arm, he's mobile, he's football smart, and he's fearless as well.
Yeah.
Does he have a weak link?
I mean, you know, right now his weakness is not winning a Super Bowl at this point. But, you know, what he's done is, you know, that year under Alex Smith, I think really helped him cerebrally break down the game and understand how to manage it. Because he's out there and he knows exactly what's happening during the game and what he has to execute to get his team back in the game. And he does that whether it's on the field or on the sideline.
Are you surprised at looking at where Mahomes went in the draft and Lee Steinberg, his agent? I remember having a conversation with him on my radio show, and Steinberg, of course, because it's his client, was hyping it up and saying this guy is the real deal. And at the time I thought Lee Steinberg has seen a lot of great quarterbacks, he's represented a lot of great quarterbacks, maybe there's something in this. But I don't think anybody saw this player coming, did they?
I mean, you just don't know, right, coming out of college because of the system that they're in. So it's always a thing where you have to go out and look in the future and say, how is this player going to be? But the thing about Patrick Mahomes is arm talent. You know, his dad was a pitcher in baseball. And the way he can throw the ball from all these different angles and platforms is amazing, like a shortstop. And that is his skill. You just can't coach that. That's what makes him so elite.
The 49ers have had problems with mobile quarterbacks this season, I think it's fair to say. They have allowed the third most rushing yards to quarterbacks. Lamar Jackson, players that have that in their arsenal, seem to make hay against his 49ers D. So something else for them to be thinking about.
Yeah. This is a different level of mobility, right? Lamar Jackson is on a whole different level.
Where's Mahomes in relation to him in that respect?
I mean, they're not even the same kind of guy as far as mobility. But what Mahomes does is he creates time to throw the ball down the field, and that is dangerous.
In terms of the weapons here for the Chiefs, there are so many of them. And then you throw Andy Reid in the mix, one of the greatest innovators the game has ever seen. Which of Mahomes' weapons do you think is going to cause the 49ers defense the most trouble?
I think it's Travis Kelce. And the reason why is the way they use him, they line him up, predicates to Pat Mahomes what defense they're playing. They use him as that kind of chess piece, which gives him an advantage of knowing if they're in man or zone coverage, because they like to do that. And then who are you going to cover him with? A safety, a linebacker, it's always a mismatch.
What do you think that balance will be? Because as you say, the 49ers typically in zone, but when they've played man this season, a lot of points have been given up. The Saints, played more man than zone. The Rams game as well, they were doing that. So that's a conundrum for them to work out, isn't it?
Well, yeah, and they're going to play man on third and short because you have to. And that's when they got to get off the field. They got to get physical with the receivers and make sure they give time to that D-line to get there, because that's when they have to win in man coverage.
Get involved with the poll at the NC show. Can the 49ers D stop Patrick Mahomes? It's one of the big questions we've been asking all week. Let's move on to the other side of the ball and talk at the Chiefs defense against the 49ers offense. And I'll lead off, J-Bell, by asking you, are people underrating this Chiefs D?
Well, they've had success of late, right? They went on this winning streak and supposedly they've been playing better. They have. But I look at their opponent and they haven't played high profile offenses. And that worries me. This is the best offense they've played all year,
right,
at the biggest game. Mm. So that's what I'm looking at. I mean, yes, they've gotten better at stopping the run. The D line has definitely improved. They're getting off blocks better, but still, this is a different animal in San Francisco.
Because, yeah, sometimes stats can be misleading, as we say. And you look at the run in the last seven games, people are saying they're the most improved defense or the best defense against the run. It seems like a real mismatch on paper, doesn't it? We see what Kyle Shanahan has managed to achieve, just the invention there with how he's using the run. So talk about that particular matchup, the Chiefs run D against this run-led offense of Shanahan.
Let me tell you what, this is where the game, this is the other matchup where the game will be won. Because think about it, San Francisco wants to get out to a lead and run out the clock.
Right.
They want to play keep away. And they are going to run the ball effectively to do that. And they can because of that zone scheme they have. They'll run outside. They'll run inside. They run all kind of different run looks, which confuses the D-line and the linebackers. Because regardless of what happens, you have to be aware of the gap you have to cover. And what happens off of that when you're so worried about covering your gap in the run game? The play action pass.
Right.
So everything comes off of this run game.
The outside run in particular is going to be critical for the Chiefs to stop, isn't it?
Yeah, because they want to stretch you out, get you running sideways, and then a speed back like Raheem Mostert hits it fast and then get chunk yards. I mean, he can get 20, 30 on you real quick.
Mostert, what a story he is. I mean, and we've seen it before, and, you know, the Patriots seem to have the blueprint for this of finding players that other people didn't want or players that certainly weren't hyped up or rated and even kicked around the NFL and bounced around the NFL suddenly becoming stars or being significant contributors. That's what Shanahan's managed to do with a number of players, particularly Mostert, right?
See, the beauty of Shanahan is he knows what he needs. He says, I need a guy that does this because this is what I want to do in the game. And he sees that in his running back. That's why he has a diverse group. But he needs speed. And the one thing about it is, I know Raheem Mostert has bounced around and people try to say that. But the fact that you bounced around and you keep getting jobs lets me know how good you are.
Right.
The NFL is all about opportunity. When you get your opportunity, you go out there and you make plays. I tell you right now, he will never, ever be an unsung hero again. Everybody's aware of his talent.
No doubt about that. Let's talk about Steve Spagnuolo, because he is the architect of this improved Chiefs team. And I take your point that their schedule has been, certainly compared to the 49ers, more straightforward. But Spagnuolo has been there, has done it. The architect, of course, of those two giant Super Bowl wins over the Patriots. And a coach you know all too well, of course.
Yeah, I played under him the year I went on injured reserve, the first Super Bowl year. So I was in the install when they were putting in that new defense. Mm. And the one thing about him is you have to be a high-level communicator. Because that's what happens, especially on the back end in the secondary. And that's why Tyrann Mathieu is so important.
Right.
That's why he wanted him in free agency.
Yeah.
He needed a guy that could line everybody up. And he's a coach that gets better as the season goes on because he learns his players. He learns what they do well, and he puts them in that position. A lot of coordinators just say, I'm going to run my defense. You learn it, and that's it. Mm. But the smart ones, in my opinion, say, this is my talent. I'm going to tailor it to them, and that's how we'll have success.
How much confidence as well should it give Chiefs fans that he's been there and done it, but particularly the way that he did it, the fact that he managed to find a way in both instances, certainly in 2007 most notably, but in both cases, of creating a plan and executing, getting his players to execute that plan to stop something that most people thought was unstoppable.
You said the key, creating a plan, right? You got 2 weeks to get this plan together. They already know what they're going to do.
Right.
So now it's all about freshening up. But if you got a coach who's been there before, who's won, and he sits there and he looks at you and he goes, fellas, I figured it out.
Mm-hmm.
You believe it as a player because he has the pedigree. He's done it. So they should be very confident because all the things that go on with this, he's seen before, and he can keep his players calm and locked in to the moment.
Let's talk about other areas of this Chiefs defense, J-Bell. The pass D, strong, of course, fewest yards allowed to wide receivers. But a weak spot here, ranking 29th out of 32 in terms of yards after catch. So how do you like that matchup?
Yeah, well, you know, with the Chiefs pass D, they're going to have, what they've been doing well is they've been matching, pattern matching. Mm. Okay. So this is what the team does well offensively. Spags has found a way to take that away. That's because he's got Tyrann Mathieu. Mm. That's the key. So he's going to take away your good go-to plays. But when you look at the statistic you threw out there, it's all about tackling. Mm. You must tackle the catch. That is the key. No yards after catch. It's all about fundamentals, basics. Remember, this game is simple. You just have to be good at the small details. Mm. And tackling is it.
That's a big detail.
Big detail. It's tackle football.
The pass rush against the 49ers O-line. Frank Clark had a great line on opening night. The 49ers haven't seen a defensive end like me, is what he said.
Yeah. He's a player. He's a player. But, you know, the one thing you have to realize is they're running that play action pass, that boot. They are going to make you think. Mm. They're going to make your backside defender, your backside defensive end, he's going to think, is the boot coming to me? Is the run going away? It's a lot of things going on. It's not a simple drop back pass scheme where you're like, let's pin our ears back and get after the quarterback. It's so many distractions in this offense, and that slows down the pass rush.
Yeah, and we talk about Andy Reid being a great innovator. Shanahan, you know, younger gun, but step up, following in his footsteps. A couple of players that there's a lot of buzz about this week. Carl, you check the fullback and George Kittle, who, you know, has been a superstar this season, although relatively quiet in terms of production in the playoffs. But, of course, his game is far more than just receiving yards, isn't it?
Oh, man. Listen, George Kittle, man, I'm telling you, he is a monster in the run game. He loves run blocking. He is why they are able to have success running behind him. It's the same way Gronkowski was used in New England. Nobody really talked about his power in the run game blocking. But as a receiver, he is a bully. He is, if you don't tackle him, he will change the momentum of the game quickly by one of those plays where he's throwing defenders all over the place.
And that goes back to the yards after catch issue that the Chiefs D have. And what about Carl Juszczyk as well? A lot of buzz about both of those being productive in the offense going into the game. You know, so many weapons on this 49ers offense too, much like the Chiefs, but he could be one of the stars of the Super Bowl.
Think about when Shanahan got the job. He went out and paid a fullback a ton of money. Right.
And it's a dying art, isn't it, the fullbacks?
He understood how important it is. Mm. Carl Juszczyk doesn't have to touch the ball all game to be a huge impact in this game with everything he does. Remember, because they're in base offense, because they have a fullback, that means you have to have your base defense out there. That gives you an advantage on offense because you can move him around like a chess piece.
Got to ask you a question on Jimmy Garoppolo, because again, talking about big narratives this week, Garoppolo is perhaps the biggest, and it's completely dividing opinion, of course. One of the mainstream takes on the 49ers is, because they've based their game in the playoffs so much on the run, that is the direction Shanahan wants to go, that he doesn't have faith in Garoppolo, and other arguments that I think ultimately are pretty nonsensical. When you look at a number of factors, the fact that Shanahan wanted Garoppolo, the fact that he has had a number of games this season when he's been asked to air it out and has managed to do it. He's a clutch player as well. Yes, he turns over the ball a fair bit. But look at the Saints game we mentioned earlier on. If he needs to go toe-to-toe, he can. What kind of factor do you think Garoppolo is going to have in this game?
Let's look at this. Let's break this down. He's been under Tom Brady's tutelage.
Right.
He sees how to manage these huge games, right, with crazy implications on the line. Mm. So mentally, he's ready. Now, he hasn't played bad games in the playoffs. So now he's not in the Super Bowl and being like, I got to get it together, because he hasn't had to throw.
Right.
So he has nothing to overcome. He has to go out there and make the throws that are designed for him, because they will be there in the play action pass. Mm. Trust me, this guy is ready for it. And he knows he's going to have to make big chunk plays this game to keep up with Pat Mahomes and that KC offense.
All right. We're going to wrap things up with three big questions. We're going to be asking this our guests all week long, the big three questions, starting with J-Bo. You ready?
Okay.
Who is going to be the unlikely hero at Super Bowl 54? The unlikely hero.
Ooh, let's think. Who haven't we talked? Debo Samuel. Yeah, nice. I want to go with him, because think about it. Mm. If we were talking about Garoppolo, these chunk plays, these huge yardage plays, and missing tackles in KC's defense, Debo Samuel is like a running back when he gets the ball in the open field. I think he can be that guy.
He could exploit
that. He can do that.
Maybe the most important question I'll be asking you all show long. Are you more looking forward to watching J-Lo or Shakira at halftime?
This is tough. Both, of course. Come on, man. I mean, listen.
Are we going to see special guests as well?
I mean,
you're
yes.
a connected man. You must know.
I know, but then I can't tell J-Bell. You. I'll lose my status. It's like in the government, man. You know, I got to keep.
You tell me that after. Maybe, will they sing a George Michael? Will they sing your karaoke?
No, I told them chill out on that. That's for me.
Maybe you're the special guest.
Ooh, Jordan. You never know.
All right. And we'll save the biggest till last. Who is your, are you allowed to? Well, yeah, we're going to go with it. Who will win Super Bowl 54?
J-Bell? Who will win Super Bowl 54? So I've been back and forth.
So have I, man.
Back and forth. But I cannot go against defense and defensive line. When you have a dominant front four, I have so much confidence in that. I'm going with San Francisco. I think that is the advantage. And overall, I like their team talent.
Going 49ers. I am.
I am.
The good news
maybe
is,
it's because I'm from the West Coast, too.
That's probably a little bit of bias. Now, I don't have to give my pick at least till Friday, so I've got plenty of time.
Hold
you
on.
Had you had the hard.
Yeah,
I am flip-flopping all over that. Jaba, half an hour has absolutely flown by. Look, the sun is out.
I'm going surfing. Yeah, right now.
I thought you started the show, buddy.
I mean, I'm going in.
You were telling
know?
The truth. That was a fib. You've got a busy day ahead, though, right?
I do.
You've got to get straight down to business. It is chaos out there.
It is. It's great, though. It's great. Who wouldn't want to be here in all this chaos?
Oh, big time. It is great to see you, man. It is great to see you. You're certainly a lot warmer and sunnier than the last time I saw you back home. And that's where we're going to be in a week. So we've got to make the most of it. Enjoy the surf. Enjoy the game as well. J-Bell, of course, covering that on UK TV. We are back tomorrow. ESPN's Dan Orlovsky in the house. Looking forward to that. He's the man. He is a smart cookie. Looking forward to catching up. We're going to drill down on quarterbacks in particular with
get
him.
Get some info. Call me after.
I'll WhatsApp you after all that. J-Bell, been a pleasure.
All right, man.
Take care. We'll see you tomorrow.